Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about going beyond rules for human behavior, but more as a stepping stone for spiritual identity. Listen as we discuss some of the limitations found in getting off at the good human stop. In this show, we will review some benefits found in becoming divine. Like attracts like, and only spirit knows spirit. We must know ourselves in the way we are known by divine mind. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience apotheosis. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Possibilities for the Ten Commandments. So what are we hoping to get out of this show today? What possibilities are we going to be talking about?
Well, I think what we're talking about is moving from a material sense, the limitations that come with this mortal identity. I think the old theology and the symbolism that we have been kind of brought up with is something that I've been challenging lately, and finding that moving from material beliefs and our material senses into spiritual understanding offers you a much different platform to live out from. That if God now, rather than being some far off God that you have to believe in, becomes a more tangible and present power that is accessible to you, then it becomes more pragmatic and it becomes a demonstrable principle instead of something that you just believe in and argue about or defend.
And before we get talking about the Ten Commandments, I just want to have you explain to us the word apotheosis, as we said in the summary, when we said join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience apotheosis. Wondering if you could let our listeners know what the meaning of that word is.
Well, the meaning of the word is the process of the individual becoming divine, that there was always this representation for human development going from a mortal state to an immortal state. And it's represented in a lot of different mythologies and scriptures and things of that nature. But I've always liked that particular word because it kind of sums it all up. And even though it really isn't going to be experienced the way a lot of us think it will be, because it isn't something that happens on a tangible level, it's really just a revelation that all of a sudden it occurs to us, it dawns on us that we are an eternal spiritual being.
Well, I think a lot of people believe that we only become this eternal beings after we pass from this life form. But you're saying that we're that now.
Right, because that would kind of be unscientific, because when does eternity begin? When does eternity end? It's not something you can really grasp with human understanding. It really passes our human reason. But when you move into the realms of spirit and you move into the realms of wholeness and the absolute, you're out of time and space, which are some of the indicators that we use with our sense level of living.
So I think we should probably start talking about the Ten Commandments. Let's talk about the first one. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. And wonder if we can just get your kind of take on that.
When you start to unbox that and you start to see God is all, that there is but one God, and this one divine presence is absolute, and it's absolute goodness, then you start to really see that beyond the first commandment, you really don't need any others, that the first commandment really says it all. And to have fidelity, or even say, for example, a clear understanding of this divine presence. Because if God is all, who am I? Who are you? And so as you start to understand a deeper meaning of these terms and you start to see that they were really instruction to do something, and we've kind of taken it just as a way of regulating human behavior and a way of humans being able to earn this position of divinity. But it doesn't play out like that. The human is an intricate part of this creative principle, and the human is actually the idea of this divine principle. And you can't separate principle from idea. By us starting to understand ourselves from the perspective of the principle instead of what it is that we are accepting as our sense of self, this personal sense of I, this mortal, finite creature that we think is me. And then as you start to follow the scriptures and you start reading them and understanding what's happening here, you find that by accepting mortality, you are denying the allness of God, that that really is ideology, it's atheism. And a lot of us don't really understand it to that extent. And we stay with the rules and the regulations. And we think that if I follow the plan, I'll get my merit badge. I will get my reward. And then the way that we have been kind of taught through the old theology is that then you will get your immortality. But in fact, or in truth, that doesn't have to wait for the expiration of this false sense that you can actually transcend this limited false sense now.
Well, I know we've been doing a lot of studying with the Bible and a lot of the stories that we've read and we've talked about does seem to take into account this first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it does seem to be a recurring theme throughout the Old Testament. As I look at our lives today, I think we are still doing that. We do put other gods before the divine God. And I mean, gods with little g's in this world. There's a big pull, and we talk about that. The material world is a big pull for us, and I think it's full of little gods.
Right. And then when you really boil that down and you find that the testimony of your five senses is violation of this first commandment, that's taking it, I want to say, beyond what most of us would consider human reason. But that's exactly what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the spiritual science, and we're dealing with things that go beyond a belief in two powers, that go beyond rational thinking. And we're moving into the absolute. And to try and understand the intention of these commandments really wasn't for us to be good humans and get our reward in the end, but it really was a way of enhancing our human experience by being in tandem with this divine presence. And so as you start to work with some of the concepts that we have discovered through Christian Science, you start to see it's a demonstrable principle. It's not just something that you're going to believe in.
I'd like to ask you some questions about the second commandment, if I could. And I'll read that for you. It's, "Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So two questions come to my mind. And the first question is, what does it mean when it says that I am a jealous God?
Yeah, that's something that I really am not 100% sure about, other than the simple fact that it really seems that if you do not have fidelity to this one true God, then you're in the trap because you have a belief in something other than this one God. And when you're in the trap, you fall out from being under divine law, and then you're now under what's called the law of karma, the law of reciprocity, that what you put out is what you get back. And then there's a distinction between, because you kind of jump ship, you know, like you fall out from grace and now all of a sudden now you have to fend for yourself. And that's what the jealous God, I think they're talking about, is the law of karma.
So the phrase graven image, what does that mean to you?
Well, again, anything that's going to report in the senses cannot be an accurate representation for the invisible, intangible, divine presence. And just like they say in Tibet, you need the finger to point to the moon, but it is woe unto them who mistaken the finger for the moon. For you shall never understand the bright light of the moon, nor what a finger is. And I think a lot of times we use these images, we use concepts, instead of working with the direct original.
And if we can go over the third one, the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Wondering if we can get your take on that.
Yeah, again, I think what we're talking about here is that a lot of times we think that's using profanity or swear words or language. But I really think the name of God really is the likeness of God. And for in order for us to communicate, where the scriptures say, "Ask in my name," it really means that we must be in spiritual identity. That in order for us to communicate with spirit, we have to put off this false sense of who we think we are. We have to put off mortality. Start to recognize and accept our own immortality. And then you open the channels of communication to this divine presence.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves.
Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, let's get right back into the Ten Commandments, and we're on number 4, and that one is, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So is there some kind of a symbolism in that particular commandment?
To the best of my knowledge, the day of the Lord is really the eternal now. Like we were saying, that spirit is outside of time and space. You're in the realms of the absolute. And so from this perspective, you really want to honor this unchanging divine presence. And so by acknowledging the day of the Lord, that kind of opens you or invites you to step out of your sense level of living, because you can only honor spirit at this level of consciousness, this degree of awareness. So again, I think we try and interpret this stuff literally, and we pick a day of the week, and then we put all kinds of rituals or whatever on it and pageantry. Whereas what I really think the commandment is talking about is to live in the ever presence of the divine and not to lose sight, you know, the whole thing of praying unceasingly.
And number 5 is, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And again, I'm going to ask you, is there some kind of symbolism between thy father and thy mother?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because in the Bible, it really, Jesus comes across and he says, call no man your father. So again, we're really trying to make reference to our spiritual identity. And Mary Baker Eddy defines God as father and mother. So it contains both qualities.
And then commandments 6, 7, and 8, thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, and neither shalt thou steal. They may appear to be that they are behavior-based, but I wonder if there really is more to that than just taking those three in a literal sense.
Oh, absolutely. And again, when we're talking about killing, I really think that they're talking about being dead to your divine presence. And the whole thing of committing adultery really was interpreted as a belief in matter and an acceptance of mortality. And the whole thing of to steal really is to draw from the physical world, to draw from the realms of duality, rather than to have this fidelity to the invisible, intangible divine presence, which is just pouring out eternal life. And for us to turn our backs to that and be attracted to or draw from duality, fear and limitation, as opposed to the perfection of being. And all of these things, again, are just ways of keeping us on track.
Now, number 9 we've talked about before in many other shows, and that is, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we've spent a lot of time on that, but I wonder if maybe you could summarize what that means.
Yeah, and when we talked about it, it was a little bit of a shock to find that to call your neighbor a human was false witness. And to judge them with your 5 senses was violation of spiritual law. These commandments, I think, are really there to try and lift us into the government of divine law so that we get out of the habit of accepting the testimony of our 5 senses. And we start to judge righteously, which is to see the spiritual fact, to see the spiritual truth, which is before you. That even though the appearance may be of a person or a place or a thing, in truth it is this one divine presence revealing itself in your thought as something. The more we have fidelity to this divine presence, then it has a profound effect on how we're perceiving what is before us.
And last, number 10, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So again, we have another neighbor theme here going on. So could you summarize that for us?
Well, again, I think it's the same thing, that if we have a belief in something other than the allness of God, and we have a desire or a craving for that, this is a signal that you're in violation of this divine law.
Yeah, and I was thinking too, not just that, but if you're going to covet thy neighbor's house and whatever else his possessions might be, we're also saying to God that we don't believe that he truly will take care of us because he will give us everything that we need.
Right. And again, you're looking on the outside of yourself for your supply. Whereas to make this work more efficiently for yourself, you really have to get your supply from the recognition of this divine presence.
I know you have some other notes here about the Decalogue. I wonder if you could share that with our listeners.
Yeah, Ames Noel wrote a book called The Decalogue. And seeing the Decalogue not as a list of rules, but as steps to be taken in the process of the human becoming divine. The journey from this false material sense to the truth of being. And that's what we were talking about. The word apotheosis, that if we continue to live instinctually by thinking, breathing, eating, sleeping, fornicating, we survive in this false sense, but there's no growth, there's no development, and we're under this law of karma. So in order for us to break the chain of this karmic wheel, there's things that we can do. And I think that's what these commandments really are. And Ames Noel, in his book, he says here, actually, the Supreme Being is cognizant only of the things that be of God. So again, in order for us to communicate with this divine presence, we have to be in spiritual identity. And in order for us to be in spiritual identity, we have to give up this false sense of who we think we are. And that's what I'm saying. I think the commandments really go way beyond conduct. In fact, Ames Noel continues in his book and he says, obedience to the Ten Commandments most certainly should not be left in the realm of human conduct alone. The commandments are essentially spiritual in their significance. Thus, the requirement envisioned by Moses was that they be obeyed by conforming thought to an at-one-ment with the Logos, the Word of God. This mental attitude is productive of a divinely subjective experience in which all is viewed, it might be said, through the eyes of God or Spirit, a standpoint that is completely free from human misconceptions and hypotheses. That's a pretty powerful statement that he makes there, but that's exactly the direction that I think we're going with our teachings and learnings now.
You had mentioned the words by Ames Noel, and you had said conforming thought to at-one-ment with the Logos, the Word of God. Can you still break that down a little bit more for us?
Yeah, I think so, that this concept of the Word of God really is this invisible, intangible, spiritual universe that is right here, right now. The concept of at-one-ment, atonement, to be in tandem with it, is really how we activate it in our experience. The connection is found in the thought unity between divine mind, this one divine mind, and the real man. And of course, the real man is the divine idea. Man is really the reflection of the divine, that man is a thought in this divine mind. Ames Noel also says in this book, he calls that mind with a capital M, considering its own content. The human is to God what Hamlet is to Shakespeare, to try and put that in more rational terms. We are the divine idea. We are the thought in this one divine mind. And by us making our human field of awareness focused on this invisible, intangible divine presence, what we're basically doing is we're allowing divine mind, this Word of God, to govern us and to take over the jurisdiction of our physical bodies. And what that does is it corrects thought. It takes it out of the human ability to form thoughts and opinions, and it moves it into the ability to think with God as God, to think in terms of the absolute. So we're stepping out of the rational, and the information that we get from the testimony of our senses, and we're stepping into the truth of being. And by attuning ourselves to that stream of divine idea, it will actually have a profound effect on the external picture. Because the formula never changes, how we think is what we become.
So basically, it sounds like we want to read these commandments not with our human minds, but we want to read them and understand them more spiritually than humanly.
Right. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about, is forsaking all human thinking for this divine knowing. And to know this truth is what will make us free.
Well, I think we have to stop our program right here. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on that homepage, you're going to see a fading banner. And if you click on when it says Blog Talk Radio, you can click that on to access all the archive shows that we have there so you can listen and further your spiritual development. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to try and step out of the limitations of obeying things on a human level and start to employ these commandments on a much deeper spiritual level, and to see how that affects your external experience. With that, Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.